Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always unto the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. I certainly got off easy in the reading department today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God spoke, and it was. This is the way that God operates. He creates by speaking, by calling forth, by declaring. What he says is, "Let there be." And what he tells to be is, right? It becomes. At his word, all things exist. The word to be, Hebrew verb, Yahweh, is the name that he gave to Moses in the bush that burned but was not consumed. He is the one who is, unfathomable and holy beyond reckoning. So overcome were our pious fathers by that holy name that they found themselves hesitant even to speak it, even to write it most of the time. Instead of Yahweh, they usually just called him Hashem, which is literally means the name, or Adonai, which means the Lord. So every time that you read in the Old Testament, "the Lord said" or "the Lord did," that is the word Yahweh, right? That is the Lord Yahweh. This was so much the custom born of faith and hope that whenever we read "Lord" in the New Testament even, we should see Yahweh behind it, right? Yahweh is there. The Lord is the one who is. He created then and he creates still today, giving to hearts and tongues of stone the summons to sing his praise and to call out to him as our Father, making dogs into children and declaring sinners to be saints. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. This is how we state it over and over again in our prayer life, in our worship life here together, in our theology, in our liturgy. We say, "This we ask through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord." And O Domine, AD for short, which we all know, that means what? The year of our Lord, right? All time is dependent upon the year of our Lord's birth. Lord, have mercy means Jesus. Have mercy. The name Jesus itself means the Lord, that is the one who is, who speaks all things into being. Yahweh will save. That's what the name Jesus means. And this, our Lord Jesus Christ, did this saving from the very foundation of the world. We were talking about in Bible study this morning. He is the Lamb who lays down his life for rebellious men. And so Adam ate, and Jesus, our Lord, died. This is the only way that God would have it. It is the only way that he will save men, to cover their sin with his blood. And that self-giving on the cross is the eternal sacrifice of and to the Lord. He is both priest and victim. It's full payment for the sins of all of the people who will ever live, and every sin that will ever be committed. It pays for all, and then it pays for even more. Because it's not like he just goes ahead and pays for every single sin, period, and that's it, no more. Not a penny more at all. Because the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is extravagant. It is more than enough. Superabundant. And he luxuriously overpays for what we have done. He pays much more than justice would demand of us. So that justice will shut its mouth against us forever. And there will be nothing, no one ever left to accuse us ever again. What does our Lord say? It is finished. Done. There is no more. And part of the meaning of that is that there's nothing more to say against us. Not even Satan has a word, can ever speak a word against the saints. There's no scrounging about, no searching in the dark, no secret sins that were forgotten or that went unnoticed for a time, but they're going to show back up at the last day to accuse you in the end. That is not ever going to happen in Jesus Christ. There are no skeletons in your closet waiting to accuse you on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has all been paid for and more. It is finished. And you, no matter what you've done, even if you don't know all the things that you've done, and you probably don't, or don't know how terrible they actually were, you are free and you are clear and should be without worry in Jesus Christ. It's all been paid. And that from the very beginning, that from the very foundation of the world at the creation of the universe. Before you were conceived, he knew your very name and sought to put his name on you, to have you as his own. Everything that has happened, right, not just in your life, but everything that has happened in the history of the world has worked to bring you right here today in his presence, that he will feed you into life. Everything that's happened, every good, every ill, he has turned and made it for your good. Because Satan could not have what the Lord has created by his word. God will not allow him to keep it. Jesus would not let Satan corrupt and destroy and steal his beloved. Steal you and then keep you. For our Lord Jesus Christ would redeem us. He would take us back. Now Satan, for his part, could not understand and he could not tolerate the elevation of the race of Adam. He could not tolerate the elevation of man. Satan saw through time with his angelic eyes, in the way that we can't see, of course. And you know what he saw? I know you in Sunday school do. He saw the incarnation of the Son of God. That's what he saw. He saw the elevation of the race of Adam in the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he hated it. And while Satan might have endured being lower than God, he would not become lower than men in this way. Because he figures, why should he? Why should he? He's one of the most beautiful creatures ever created. Why should an angel superior to men in almost every metric be ruled over by Adam? Why would God choose to give dominion over this earth to these creatures, to these men, and not to the angels. Why not let those angels do the naming and the ruling and the reigning? I mean, even in our fallen vanity, it seems unfair to us, right? It does to me. It seems unreasonable that God would give all of this to us to rule and to reign over. And the adversary saw it as an insult. The devil's envious pride, which presumes to tell God what was right and what was good and what was the order of all things, could not stand to be ruled by man, could not stand to see the elevation of human nature in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could not stand, he hated it. Because Satan figures, it's plain enough to see, angels should be higher than men. And so what Satan seeks to do is now to steal men from God. He does this because, of course, he can't really take Yahweh head on, can he? Right? All of the language of war in heaven, right, that's just an image so we'll understand. Right? God, Satan and God do not meet on the battlefield as equals. God is incredibly infinitely mighty. If Satan were to go up against the Lord, he's gone, right? So what he does, who he comes after, is you. The creature does not stand a chance against the Creator. But Satan stands a chance against the sons, against the daughters of Eve and Adam. And so he plunged creation into chaos. He thought he would set things in order to put men in the place where they belong. And he thought that he would show God what sort of steward and what sort of caretaker and image bearer Adam would truly make. And then perhaps, just maybe, if the Lord was able to see how evil and wicked and unreliable men were, he would see that the devil's wisdom is better than the Lord's love. But, the devil grossly underestimated and flat out did not understand the magnitude of the Lord's love. Because even in the midst of our betrayal, our open rebellion, Adam remains the apple of the Lord's eye. Even in the midst of all of that, of our joining Satan's side, we remain the Lord's beloved. And the Lord will rescue Adam, and he still loves him and wants him to rule this world and not the devil. And so what does God do? He makes himself to be a little lower than the angels, the Bible says, lower than Satan. He condescends to the level and to the weakness of mortal men, except that in him there is no guile and there is no sin. And even though he be a man and lower than the angels, he will not stoop and bow down and worship Satan like so many did before him. He will wait upon the Father. He will trust and believe in the Father's love and will. And the Son loves the Father no less for the bitter cup that he must drink to its dregs. And he takes his place among men. He takes his place with them as their brother. Right? That's the language the sacred scripture uses. God himself, the Lord of creation, our brother. He takes his place at the place prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And he takes their humanity into his divinity. He exercises his love in this, that he takes up our flesh and blood and makes himself a sacrifice greater than the crime. He offers his perfect life and love as the healing of the nations and brings men out of the garden through the labyrinth of time and into the kingdom of heaven. He restores and he recreates his creation. And then he comes like a thief in the night and he robs the grave of its plunder. And he robs Satan of his prize and he sets the prisoners of hell free. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is life. He is alive and death is dead. To Satan's astonishment, what he could never figure out, the Creator joined the dust from which he called forth Adam and laid himself down in the dust of death for the race of Adam's rebellion. That's what this Lord does. And even though Adam and you and me are unworthy of all of this, Adam and we do not remain in the dust of death. Unworthy Adam is the beloved of the Lord, and he instead goes to heaven. He takes his place with the Lord, even at the right hand of the Father, to have dominion over all of the earth from on high, to reign with Christ forever. Beloved of the Lord, the grace of God is unexpected joy. It is startling and it is beautiful. It confounds even the wisdom of the holy angels. The Lord changes places with men. He dies and they live. He goes to hell so that they can enter into heaven and even reign there with him forever. And thus, by grace and only grace, does Adam live and breathe and name all things and have dominion over them. And thus also, the sons and daughters of Adam, infected with their same disease, also live and breathe and wait for the reward of the righteous to be revealed to all of creation. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gives it all to you. And he gives you heaven and earth and even himself. And if this, my brothers and sisters, does not seem right and makes no more sense to us than it did to Satan, don't you know that that too is covered by his extravagant grace and mercy and his love for you? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.